about 2:10 on the 11th. We've got present today Senators Elton, Olson, and myself, Dyson. Senator Green and Wilkin will join us shortly. We're going to continue our work on SB 10, parent liability for child damage. The bill sponsor is here, I believe, has some amendments and some conceptual amendments, and it is my hope that we can move this bill today and it moves on to judiciary, where some other issues perhaps can come up and so on. The sponsor does not have a new draft for us that would have incorporated all of this, you know, in spite of her best efforts to get it to us. And if any of us are uncomfortable about moving it with the conceptual amendments, then we will hold it for Wednesday. My guess is that will not be the case. Senator Guess.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the record, Gretchen Guess, State Senator from District J. I will quickly run through the answers to the questions that were asked at that last meeting. If I missed any of them, please ask me them again, and we should have an answer for them. Quickly, the title is fine. There was a question about the title. We did check that out. There's a question about what is on a kid's record or not on a juvenile's record. All those things are the same as is in law right now.
But what is that? Can you tell us?
Yes. The records of proceedings against minors, including records of driver's license proceedings under AS 2815-185, are permanent but confidential with some exceptions. They are sealed when a minor turns 18 or at a later time if the court retains jurisdiction over the minor past the age of 18, but they may be used in pre-sentencing reports.
Sorry, say the last sentence again.
They may be used in pre-sentencing reports.
Okay. So the question, I think, was if indeed the judge does, as you and I hope, and that's set up to a long standing repayment plan, that plan perseveres past the kids reaching majority, and I wonder if a creditor exploring the child's records would know that there was a court-ordered liability that was long-standing. You know, if you don't know the answer to that, I sure won't hold up the bill for it.
Mr. Chairman, we both believe, looking at Tam's opinion in the discussions we have, that it would remain confidential. I will make sure I get back to you, and I'll make sure I address it in judiciary with that. But I believe it would still stay confidential because it happened before 18.
Yeah, so then the position of a creditor or a bankruptcy court or anything would be an interesting question. Okay. And all right, please continue.
There was a question, I believe, from Senator Elton about protecting parents who choose to turn their child in and whether or not we were going to provide a disincentive. They are not protected right now in the current bill. Failure to report is not a crime in the sense that there would be some motivation for a parent to turn in a child in this situation. So if you did want to protect a parent from liability, say you're not liable if you turn your child in, that would take an amendment to put that in the exemption area. And you could do that conceptually if the committee wanted to.
So a parent who reports their child as a runaway is still liable for their...
No, my apologies, Mr. Chair. A parent that reports their child as a runaway is not liable, but if a parent chose to turn their child in and say, I know that my child burned down that building, and they chose to turn that child in, if you wanted to exempt that parent from the $15,000 of liability. That is something that legally we can do, and it would be up to the committee to decide whether or not you think that is a good public policy.
Senator Elton?
I don't want to put the senator on the spot, but a value judgment from the senator on whether or not that is acceptable to her would be helpful.
Through the chair, Senator Elton, I appreciate the question. This is a bill of constant policy calls. The advantage is you might have some situations where, you know, if the parent, you know, knows of all the laws, which they may or may not, they may choose not to turn that child in because of their own liability. The flip side is we're holding parents accountable in every other situation, but not this, or other parents accountable, but not, you know, this parent accountable just because he or she may know what their child does, another parent does not. So it's trade-offs, and I would leave it up to the committee to decide or to think about it, and if that's something you want me to bring up in judiciary, I don't mind doing that either.
I spent quite a bit of time here 5 years ago looking at when do you become an accessory to a crime, and you arguably do if you get a benefit either from the crime or not reporting the crime and know of it. So the parent that knows of the crime doesn't report it because they might incur some liability, might rise to the level of an accessory. Next.
Mandatory reporting. That is only in the select case that you discussed in the last meeting about crimes against children. We don't, in this state, have mandatory reporting on any other crimes, except for certain professions and crimes against children. Hard to place children. We discussed that. Senator Green asked whether or not we could limit the exemption of parents of hard to place children to a number of years. We can, and that's another policy call by this committee on whether or not they would want to amend the bill.
You have a suggested amendment for us on that?
Mr. Chair, to be honest, you and Senator Green have a lot more experience in this area of hard-to-place children than I do, and I know that you wrote that exemption in Senate Hess a few years ago. So I would really, if you all have suggestions of how you want, if you want to put a time limit on the exemption of hard-to-place children, I'm more than willing to entertain it. Or again, if you and Senator Green want to get together and discuss it and want me to bring something in front of Senate Judiciary, I don't mind doing that as well. There was a question about unintentional acts. Unintentional acts, the crimes in this bill would be covered similar to any other crimes. So you'd have to, you know, intent, reckless, knowingly, criminally negligent. There would have to be some proof. And, of course, in the civil court, it's preponderance of evidence. In a criminal court, it's beyond a reasonable doubt. So an unintentional act would not fall under this if it didn't fall under what our current criminal code is already. One thing that does do that I think is a positive is in certain situations it's going to take age into consideration. Should you have known, which will treat an 8-year-old different than a 17-year-old. Should you have known what you were doing was going to cause something. Finally, the last two questions, there was a question about insurance and paying back insurance for, let's say, the deductible that occurs. That can happen under this bill. It will have to go through civil court. The insurance company would have to sue to get their deductible back from the juvenile. There's not really any way around that. We talked to the drafter. And finally, harms to persons. I think the best way to address that issue is actually to make a request of the committee, which is to take all the crimes against persons out of the bill. It wasn't necessarily my intent to include crimes against persons. I was thinking of ensuring that we included all the crimes against property. And I think, given the changes in this bill, it would be much better to limit it to crimes against property than to get into all the cases about crimes against persons. I think we gave Jason a conceptual amendment, which would keep us constitutional, but just do it crimes against property. We tried to get a CS for this, even for the last committee meeting, and it's just taken the drafter, Ms. Cook, longer because of everything else going on in the building to get that done for us. So if the committee wanted to, this would be, from TM Cook, this would be the conceptual amendment that we would want to go along with the CS that's being drafted.
So as I remember that discussion, Senator Guest, the question came up, you know, about lots of things here of if you include crimes against persons and what if you hurt their feelings or, you know, and all those things. And you have decided to go back to the original intent of the bill, which was crimes against property.
Correct. To expand it from vandalism to all crimes against property, but not all crimes.
And I ask you to consider if our existing laws about the various levels of assault against persons really kind of covered the stuff that, and as I remember, there are some provisions in those statutes for restitution.
Mr. Chair, there are, and other processes do cover it. And to be honest with you, we've spent a lot of time on this bill, but it's really been focused on property. And I think that the best thing to do is to focus on property and not to focus on harms against persons. It may be that the legislative body wants to take up harms against persons at another time, but it would not be my suggestion that we do it with this vehicle right now.
Do you want to explain the second and third bullets here in your conceptual amendment?
The second and third bullets were two add-ons to the bill. The second bullet is making the statute consistent that you can lose the right to your driver's license if you're convicted of a crime, a misdemeanor, a felony. We did not take that back for crimes against persons, since the discussion here was not about the driver's license, but about restitution and feelings hurt and this and that. So the second bullet says we'll keep the current bill when it comes to you're going to lose your driver's license for a certain number of days or years if you're convicted of a misdemeanor or a felony. It's important. One, I think it's good public policy. The second is if we only limit to non-property crimes on the driver's license, we do have a constitutional problem of separating out some crimes, dealing with some crimes differently than the others. The third, yes.
It was certainly my intention that taking the driver's license was one of the tools the judge could use, but with the assumption that if the child slash person is involved in a long-term payment plan, that as is in some other situations, the judge can allow them to drive a car to go to work and take their invalid mother to the doctor and get groceries, you know, but it's a restricted driving privilege. And hopefully, thirdly, that the judge would have the option of telling the person who has this long-term payment plan that 3 minutes after you fail to meet, you know, your payment plan, your driving privileges can be revoked. So it
Mr. Chair, I believe we've addressed all of those issues except the last one, which we haven't been able to figure out how to do in a constitutional manner. But I can continue to work on that, which is if you stop doing the payment plan, what are the...
I would encourage you to see if you can figure that out before you get to judiciary. I interrupted you, the third bullet.
Oh, and the third bullet says that the PFD provisions in the bill go to all crimes. So if there is restitution of an assault, that both the minor's PFD can go towards paying that restitution, and that the state can order the minor to apply for a PFD. So it's just not taking the harms to persons out of the driver's license or the permanent fund sections, but taking it out of the bulk of the bill, which is the restitution section. Does that make sense to the committee?
So the seizing of the dividend can happen, if the judge chooses, for these crimes against property with this amendment.
Crimes against property and crimes against persons.
So you're extending, is it now not clear in the statutes that the PFD can be seized for crimes against persons?
It's limited in the statute right now, and this would pull out the limitations, and it would also put in that the state can order someone to apply for a permanent fund dividend.
I think it would be proper for us to separate this into three amendments. Because they're slightly different subjects, or significantly different subjects. All right, so the chair will entertain amendment number one, which is bullet number one, which the essence of it is that it returns the bill to just being crimes against property and amends out the pieces that made it, in the previous version, that made it also crimes against persons. Senator,
are you looking for a motion?
Yes, sir.
Mr. Chair. I move bullet number one as amendment number one.
Conceptual amendment.
Conceptual amendment.
Is there objection?
And then I'm going to object for the purpose of a comment. I mean, I understand why we're doing this, but I think there is a more discreet way of doing it, and that would be describing harm to a person as physical harm. And I guess I'm more comfortable doing it in the discreet manner. I know that there are other provisions of law that may help if it comes to harm to a person. But it just seems to me that one of the things that we want to do is if we want the economic help that this provides in harm to property, that there are going to be many cases that occur, unfortunately, in which a person is harmed and harmed to the extent that it can create a financial liability to the victim and the victim's family. The example that I'm going to use has nothing at all to do with a juvenile, but I mean, an assistant AG a couple of weeks ago was beaten in a manner that's going to take extensive reconstructive surgery. That kind of harm, I think, is just as egregious and possibly more egregious than harm to property. And I think that there ought to be consequences, and I think that there ought to be economic assistance that accrues to that kind of a victim, as well as a victim of property violence. So I guess I'm speaking against a sweeping provision, and my preferred approach would be that if there is concern about emotional harm, that we just change this to physical harm. So I'm going to vote no on the amendment. I suspect that the amendment will pass, and I'll just commit to working with the sponsor of the bill to see where I may be misguided.
Isn't the instance, for instance, you give assault or battery or something that's already clearly defined and there's a remedy?
The remedy, Mr. Chair, the remedy is there, but I'm... And in some cases, it may even apply to the parent, for example, being financially liable. But this, I mean, it just seems to me that we would want to make sure that that happens. And this bill would allow that to happen.
Well, I think it's already there. Representative Berkowitz and I worked here several years ago on a whole bunch of stuff on restorative justice, and I think we thought we got there. But if we didn't, I'd sure be glad to work on it. Anyways, any further discussion on this amendment, this conceptual amendment? Would you call a roll, please?
Yes.
Senator Green?
Yes.
Senator Elton?
No.
Senator Olson?
Yes.
Chair Essen?
Yes. All right. Conceptual Amendment 1 is adopted. I guess I can move it. I'll move Conceptual Amendment 2, which is to retain the application of the driver's license provisions of this bill in Sections 1, 2, 4, 5, 6, and 11, to all crimes currently specified in the bill.
Is she not removing 4 and 5? Aren't you removing 4 and 5 from the discussion?
What does the underlining mean in your
You mean you're taking it out?
Oh, my apologies for the underlining. Those are the sections that it impacts, not sections that we're deleting. It was a reference so people could see which sections are included.
Still not clear. Do I need to move the amendment with all those in, or?
Yes. Yes, Mr. Chair.
So I inadvertently did it right?
Yes, Mr. Chair.
Good. All right. Is there objection? Senator Elton.
For clarification, and I may be misunderstanding the printed word versus the discussion that we had a little bit earlier. I mean, do we need to amend to retain if it's already in the bill?
It's, Mr. Chair, through the chair, Senator Elton, and it was what I was asking my aide, Wayne. I think for this committee to be clear, it would be helpful to the drafter. When we went to the drafter and we said we would like to pull out harms to persons, but we want to retain the driver's license and the PFD provisions, she came back with these directions, given that she couldn't get the CS to the committee in time. So do we need to? Technically, probably not, but it was the request of Ms. Cook for this committee to be clear about the driver's license provisions and the PFD provisions. So it really is up to the committee. It doesn't, in my mind, as long as we're making relooking at how number one was drafted, I would say we probably should, or harms to persons will be removed from the driver's license section and the PFD section.
Is there objection maintained?
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senator Guest, I'm assuming I should have asked you that you're in favor of this amendment?
Through the chair, Senator Olson, yes.
And I should have asked you on the first one. You were in favor of that amendment as well.
Yes. These are all suggested amendments that I'm in favor of. Thank you.
Seeing no objections, Conceptual Amendment 2 is adopted. And I'll move Conceptual Amendment 3 to retain the application of the PFD provision of this bill in Section 7 to all crime and harm to persons or property, all crime and harm to persons and property is currently specified in the bill. Is there objection?
Only, so just one thing, if we've taken out the reference to harm to persons, is that what we're doing in the earlier section?
Through the chair, Senator Green, yes.
Then what reference would this be?
Through the chair, Senator Green, it would just be for all crimes. Harms to person, and where we kind of got off was the words that the drafter used just for the civil part of the bill. But basically, this would encompass all crimes and would go back to all crimes. So there was no harms to person that we needed to deal with.
If I could continue. So this will just be included in the listing of things for which permanent fund dividends can apply to?
Yes.
Okay.
All right. Is there objection? Seeing none, conceptual amendment 3 is adopted. All right. We have a decision to make as a committee. We've heard a lot on this bill and worked with it a lot. We can hold this over and hope to have a committee substitute ready for us on Wednesday, or if we're comfortable with the progress here, we can pass the bill on to Judiciary, and they can continue if the work can go on. I personally am comfortable about doing it, but I'd like that really to be the will of the committee. Senator Elton.
Mr. Chair, I don't really mind either, and I'll go with what the comfort level is of the chair, but we do have, I think, a person to testify on the bill.
Yeah, yeah, I understand that.
Has Sheldon Winters signed up to testify again today? Has Mr. Winters testified to testify? I'd like to know his opinion of the amendments we have as well.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Matthew Bautista? Yes, sir. Please give us your name and give us your testimony.
Hello, my name is Matthew Bautista. I'm a student of DeSantis Community Middle School. I'm a longtime resident of Juneau, Alaska. I'd like to thank Senator Guest, Dyson, Ellis, and Bundy for this opportunity to give my opinion on Senate Bill Number 10. Senate Bill 10 is a bill opposing an act in which a minor under the age of 18 in Alaska who is not emancipated, commits an act of vandalism or destruction of property, will not be the person liable for his or her action, but their parent or guardian will be accountable for his or her child acts. I strongly oppose Senate Bill Number 10, for it is a bad idea and should not be passed. The minor should be the one responsible for his or her wrongdoings. The frequent destruction of property and vandalism among minors in Alaska have increased dramatically in the youth population between 10 and 18 years of age. 48,900 juvenile acts of destruction of property and vandalism throughout Alaska, according to the 1998 juvenile court records, have been committed. That's a lot of minors committing those acts in the state of Alaska. Imagine more kids doing that because they don't have to worry about being held monetarily responsible to paying for it. They'll just let their parents pay. And people should be responsible for their own actions, even kids like me. Some of you out there, senators and representatives, have kids, am I right? What do you think if your kids, for example, got mad at someone and wrecked a car or went out in somebody's house and broke a window, leaving you with the bill? I can't imagine you would be happy, but would it really stop your child from committing an act? I don't think so. In conclusion, if the purpose of the bill is to reduce these crimes, I can state as a teenager that it would not differ me, even though I would not commit an act of vandalism, and feel it would create a lack of responsibility in kids, and so I strongly urge you vote no on Senate Bill 10.
Thank you, Matthew. Any questions for Matthew? Senator Wilkin.
How old are you?
13, sir.
13, in what grade? 8th grade. You did a very good job. Thank you for being here today.
And Matthew, through this process, and I'd encourage you to stay after and talk to Senator Guest, but the bill has been modified pretty significantly, and what it really expects to happen if there's if a minor does vandalism, that the judge will set up a long-term payment process, and that kid that did it will end up paying on those bills for a long, long time, and including losing their dividend, having their whatever wages they make and so on taken, and may not be able to have a driver's license, or maybe they're a restricted one, until they pay it. So this bill, as it presently limits the amount the parents has, but really encourages the judge to set up a long-term payment plan. But I think it's part of where you want to go, because the kid's going to have to pay the major portion of it. And we hope that many parents, if they have to pay in the short haul, they'll have that kid out working after school and weekends to repay the parents. But your point's very well taken, and thank you. Any further questions or discussions from the committee? Mr. Wetter?
You've made a statement, I want to know, I didn't remember it in the bill, saying that this wages could be garnished. Is that just overall policy, or it's not in here, is it? Or did I miss it?
It's not in the bill, but that's how it currently works.
Or is it just a possibility?
Through the chair, Senator Green, the court will set up the payment plan, and it's current practice that's how restitution in these situations is gathered. So it's part of the court order. So it's not specific to this bill. Like, what's specific to this bill is that we're saying that the minor, after they turn 18, continues to be liable.
I just hadn't seen it in here. I thought, well, maybe I...
It isn't. And
okay,
I appreciate
you. I was
in
error if I gave that implication, but it is a part of the tools. And by the way, if you go and look at that section, you'll see there's a priority of who gets paid. Child support payments are near the top. And I think Ethan and I moved the victim to get money ahead of the judge years ago. Mr. Warner? I think Senator Green's interested in your response to the amendments.
For the record, my name is Sheldon Winters. I'm a lobbyist for State Farm, and in response to Senator Green's question, we do support these amendments as opposed to the way the bill was before. So.
Any other comments you'd like to make before we move this on to judiciary?
Just like to thank the sponsor for keeping an open mind and listening to us.
An open and a great one, mind. All right. Thank you. We'll close public hearing. Any further discussion or questions from the committee? What's the wish of the committee?
Chairman, I'll move Senate Bill 10 from Committee with Individual Recommendations and accompanying.
No fiscal amount.
Zero?
Zeros.
Is there objection?
So far, zero.
Is there objection? Seeing none, thank you for good work, Senator Guess. We're adjourned. Please stay and sign.